Stephen Godfrey, college football season is basically here. Week zero is in the books as we record this. Week one looms. And I wanted to do something a little different.
Recap the Western Kentucky-Sam Houston game.
In excruciating detail, yes. No. Last week, I sent out a survey to our paid subscribers. We love all our listeners at Phantom Island, but we reserved this opportunity for paid members. You can sign up at phantomisland.show if you'd like to be a part of this and other future fun opportunities. And I wanted to ask them kind of where they're at entering this football season.
Like where, the space between where they're at and entering the football season made me laugh. We just wanted you to cry for a little while and get it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I asked them how many regular season wins they wanted their team to win at a minimum to consider the season a success. I gave them a list of different things their team could achieve, from beat your rival to make a bowl game to win the national championship and several steps in between, to what was sort of like the bare minimum for them to consider the season successful. I asked them to rate how they felt about their coach on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident they were entering the season, which opponent they really wanted to beat, which opponent they really didn't want to lose to. Yeah, just sort of a, like, less of a where, how good do you think your team is, and more of a how are you feeling as a fan about this football team right now?
So it was a little bit of like an emotional catharsis, but it sounds like it was more of a consumer satisfaction survey, or like I should say consumer expectation survey.
Yes, expectations is a great way to put it, because okay. I'm going to come back to this at the end of the season. I'm going to ask people to fill the survey out again, and I want to see how that, what lines up.
For a while, there was a trend of people would take selfies as soon as they landed in Vegas, and then they would take a selfie on their way back to the airport as they were leaving. And you can imagine the transition that took forth. This is kind of like that.
Yes, this is very much like that. That's what we're going to do today on Phantom Island, presented by Homefield.
Every rustle in the trees, a potential snare. Close my eyes and block my ears. Cut the cord.
Okay, so are you ready to start reviewing the survey data with me?
Yes. How many teams were represented by our subscribers?
Okay, so we got 555 responses in total, which covered 98 FBS schools. There were no FCS and D2 schools on here. Some people are upset about that. It's because I'm a bad person who won't see heaven, just to be clear. which school do you think we got the most responses for?
Georgia Bulldogs?
Michigan. Michigan gave us 32 responses. And we had 53 schools with at least 3 responses, which to me was like, okay, that's like some diversity of opinion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to give you some of the sort of like overall numbers here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll drill down. We'll start about, we'll get more granular as we go.
Okay.
First up, how many regular season wins would you need your team to win to consider the season a success? In the Power Four, the average ended up being 8.6 wins, which is a lot. Like, not everybody can win 8 or 9 regular season games.
And how many Power Four teams did?
I would say almost every Power Four school.
Okay. So,
like, not, I know it's not all of them, but it is certainly.
So right off the bat,
a majority of them.
I was just going to like kind of co-pilot this with goofs and jokes, but now you're poking. No, that's just an emotional adjustment to the playoff, I think.
Maybe so.
Because on average, what that says is, it means, you said, what was it? Say the number specifically.
8.6.
8.6. So we're almost at 9, and 9 is considered playoff contention, depending on resume.
Sure.
And then there are schools, I think there's some element of pragmatism.
Yes, there are some schools, like, it's an average, so some schools are
some
lower.
Some schools are like, hey, you know what? It's not our year.
Yeah.
But winning 8 would be great. So it's like, I want to win 9 to make the playoff, but 8 would be great.
And there are some Power 4 schools, to be clear, and we'll get into this. There are some schools in here who are like, 6 would be a successful year. There are other schools who are like, we need to win 10 regular season games for it to be a successful year.
Okay.
So that's how you get here. Group of 5, that number drops to 7. 7 regular season wins.
Make a bowl.
Would be considered a success, yes. Okay, let's talk about overall optimism. I just said, how optimistic are you feeling about your team entering the 2025 season?
Confidence index.
1 out of 10. 1 to 10. Scale of 1 to 10. The average came out for all teams in all of FBS came out to 6.3, which I think is a pretty good, like, that feels right, because it's like I'm excited. And right now, without a game being played, all of these were before the Week 0 games. Kansas right. State fans, I think, would have submitted very differently otherwise. Yeah. I think this is the 6.3 feels like I'm excited and I'm willing to believe, but also I have a deep well of anxiety and fear yeah. that is ready to be tapped into at any moment.
I think it's like if we were teaching a stats class. Which,
yeah. We're not.
That would be a bad college.
We would invite Bill Connolly on for
that would be a very bad college. Welcome to medical school. You're in the Bahamas. That feels like we would get close to that number at any given year. And yeah. or I think it's representative of our fans specifically, not just the ones that like are showing up on Phantom Island yeah. in the last year since our launch, but the projects we've worked on previously.
Sure. Yep.
That our fans have a healthy amount of, again, pragmatism, excitement for the season,
mm-hmm.
but a fairly healthy view on the college football reality in front of them.
Right. I also asked, if your season ends up being a struggle, if you fail to meet expectations, what is the reason that would be? Like, if you had to decide right now, like, if we fall short, it'll be this. And I gave people some categories.
You're asking people to predict how they'll die.
That's right. The most popular predicted reason why that would be the case was the roster. 28.7% of respondents said,
like, poor play or
no,
injury.
Well, I didn't well, no, injury is a separate category.
Okay.
So here are the top three answers: the roster, the coaching staff, injuries, and luck. So that's sort of like.
I'm kind of shocked that the roster beat the coaching staff.
I think that is maybe a product of the transfer portal era now.
Ooh.
And maybe I think yeah. like the transfer portal has made the roster feel more tenuous in some ways. And it's sort of like whether or not you, quote unquote, won the portal, either by keeping your guys or getting new ones,
okay.
maybe makes it wow. feel more like year to year. I think it makes it feel more like year to year it's a personnel game rather than a coaching game.
Yeah, so right there I feel like that's a shift.
A little bit. Here is the shift that I don't know how I'll tell you the number. We can talk about how we feel about it.
Okay.
The question I asked was, would you rather lose to your rival but contend for a conference title and or a playoff spot? Or would you rather beat your rival but be out of the running for those two things?
The old Buckeye.
60% said they would rather lose to their rival but be in the mix for a conference championship game or a playoff spot. And 40% said they'd rather beat their rival. And that feels like a thing that has shifted. That feels like a product of, to some extent, maybe the expanded playoff. I think if you would ask this question in the four-team playoff era, there are more teams that sort of say, well, it's only four teams and our chances of making, like, the path for us to get it is so, like, hauntingly narrow, especially if you were a group of five team that yeah. didn't have, like, a path in.
So I think you're on the right track.
Yeah.
And that's a point that I didn't really take into consideration. It's not so much about a change in priority.
Mm-hmm.
It's that feeling that access is realistic.
Yes.
And so if it's a realistic possibility to do that, let's lean more in that direction.
I am, however, comforted that still 40% of people said I'd rather beat our rival. Like I think that's important. I think that's like a core element of the college experience of saying like,
okay,
if I'd rather ruin your day than have a good one for myself.
Still a strong quotient of Americans who will get into a fist fight at a Buffalo Wild Wings. Yes.
Okay. So that's sort of the top level stuff. Now we're going to drill down a little bit into where the questions got a little different. So I mentioned one of the questions on the survey was, what is the lowest achievement your team can reach for you to consider the season a success? I'm going to start with the Power Four conferences and tell
the
you how.
Lowest that, achievement.
The lowest. So, like, all right. You could do better than this, but at a minimum, if
you
we,
have to do
at
this.
A minimum, if we do this, yeah. I will consider the season a success.
This is what most NFL fans outside of maybe Super Bowl contenders will say. Just want them to make the playoffs.
Sure.
Right?
100%. Yes. Yes. All right. So, the two most popular answers. Number one was make a bowl game. That still is a pretty popular barometer.
Do you think any shits are given about the bowl anymore?
No.
It's a marker of a winning season.
I think it's
a 500 season.
I think it means you're 500.
Yeah.
And I think even though sort of like the meaningfulness of a bowl has shifted somewhat seriously over the last 5 years, I think missing a bowl game still sucks, if that makes sense.
It does. And even though we're going to see like a lot of weird bowl stuff again this year, where like opt-outs and like we're going to have some weird bowl product. People are not going to get excited if their 7 or 8 win team goes to a bowl because it's going to be like, oh, these 10 players aren't playing or they're leaving or whatever. Like,
But, and there is still enough meat in, like, Alabama and Michigan didn't make the playoff last year, but Michigan beating Alabama in that bowl, like, that was fun and interesting.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. It is definitely the minority occurrence.
Yeah.
The less frequent occurrence, but it still happens to some degree. Yeah.
So I think there's still some value to be gained from that. Just below that was beat your primary rival, however you define them. 165 responses in that category.
Sure.
Very next thing. So the next stage up of that would be make your conference championship game. Not necessarily win it, just make it. But that was not the third most popular response. Third most popular response was win a playoff game with 73 responses.
But less than beat your rival.
No, more, yes, less than beat your rival, yes. So there's a lot of Georgia answers in there, Bama, Clemson, LSU, Ohio State, Penn State, Texas.
Well, like, that tracks,
This is where you see, like...
You probably just named 6 teams at least that'll be in that bracket.
Yes, but it's not just make the playoff, it's win a playoff game. Like, that is what they've decided is these people who put this answer.
Also tracks. Yeah. Clemson made the playoff last year. The standard this year.
Yeah.
If I was a Clemson fan, the standard this year would be to win at least one playoff game. Yeah.
Make the conference championship. Uh-huh. That's 49. 49 people said that's the thing that would, if we made the conference championship, at a bare minimum, that would be a successful season.
Feels like we're getting fuzzy here because what does that mean by your standards of fandom? I wonder if they said that because they would assume we're going to make the playoff because of the conference championship game.
Yes, but that's why I didn't make the playoff an answer. I just said said win a playoff game.
So Iowa State made their conference championship game last year.
But didn't
make the playoff.
Yes, that's true.
Whereas SMU and Clemson, there's a winner and a loser there, and they both make the playoffs.
I think also what this is reflective of, especially in the Power Four. If you can make your conference championship game, you do have a chance to potentially get into the playoff. But I think it's also like these are still thought of, whatever you want to say about the ACC, like these are still thought of as deep enough and hard enough leagues that if you can make it to the championship game, you've had a good season. I think the days of like the ACC being like, wow, what 8-win garbage is making the playoff this or making the conference championship this year?
And I wonder if this is reflected
in the absence of divisions.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I think the fans are starting to value it more instead of I'll pick on the old Big 12.
Yeah.
Like you know, Texas and Oklahoma are the two clear cut best teams, mm-hmm. or Tennessee and Florida in the 90s.
Yeah,
And then you barf up some 7-game winner
as
we're from the North Division, and then you lose by 40.
Here's who won from the Coastal this year. Yeah,
yeah. There's so many Big Ten titles like that too.
I also think there are enough sort of like tier two schools in the Power Four where it's like if you're Minnesota, for example, making the Big Ten championship game would be awesome. So awesome that I think it's not like, well, we didn't win it, so therefore we had a bad season. Making it would be great.
What if they went and got, like, blown out by X?
I think even so, I think you would say like what you had to do to be second in the Big Ten mm-hmm. to make it to Indianapolis would probably still feel validating okay. and valuable.
All right. Just checking.
Win a conference championship game was one of the was almost the least popular answer. Like that is
winning.
So yes, only seven people said that is the bar. Okay. Which says to me that
we're in that weird limbo again.
Well, it says to me that in the playoff era now, if you are good enough to win a conference championship game, or you think you're good enough to win a conference championship game, your goal immediately becomes win a playoff game or more than that. And I think that, like, this is the first thing I saw in this that was like, oh, conference championships really don't mean that much to people now.
This might be not a sampling error. This might be an... Like, we might have a stats problem here where okay. it's not a priority, but it's just, I think maybe it's the way you set the survey up. I'm not blaming
That's
you, but
fine.
Like, no, but if you're like Texas,
yeah.
Georgia, Penn State, Ohio State, Clemson,
yeah.
I won't do this forever, but like, you have to expect to win the conference because those teams, not only are they expecting to go to the playoff, they want that bye. They like...
Yes, but I think that's
the incentive structure is to still win the conference championship.
Yes, I'm not saying it's not important, but I'm saying that okay. for all of the teams you just mentioned, I think the actual goalpost has shifted to if you do that but you don't win a playoff game, it doesn't... like. It totally ruins that. The conference championship is only, I think, is increasingly becoming a means to an end and not a valuable commodity in and of itself in the Power Four.
And you made them pick one.
Yes, I said pick your baseline.
So then that explains it. Yes. So it's built in, I think, almost as an assumption in other answers,
yes.
and then. But as its own merit.
As a thing by itself, where if you just said this is the best thing we did and nothing higher than that, that is not satisfying.
Where
to
this
people.
Is completely untrue is the Group of Five.
Yes, yes. And it does get different there. Yeah.
Like if, for instance, like Georgia Southern has never won the Sun Belt. Mm-hmm. If they were to win the Sun Belt and nothing else and certainly not, and maybe Boise's the G5 school or Memphis or something, that's still a massive, like that's a successful season.
Yes. Make the national championship. Powerful schools. Make it to the national championship game. 21 responses here. Which team do you think the most people listed as, I root for this team, and at a minimum, we need to make the national championship for me to consider the season a success?
Most amount of respondents were Michigan.
Yes.
Total in the survey.
Yes, but Michigan was not the one.
I know. Yeah. No, I wasn't going to say it. Yes. No, I mean, I'm not doing jokes here. Like Michigan does not have that expectation this year.
So what I'm asking you is, who, based on this like limited sample,
yeah,
who is the team that you feel its fans feel like if we need to make it to the championship, not necessarily win it, but make it, and anything short of that will be a failure this season?
It has to be Penn State.
It is Penn State.
It has to be.
Texas is right behind them.
Yeah.
Penn State and Texas are by far, like... There are a couple others in here. Somebody said this about Alabama, which I think they should prepare themselves for disappointment. Georgia, Oregon, Clemson, LSU. So, but yes, Penn State and Texas are the two with this most fervently. And we only got four responses that said, my Power Four team needs to win the national title. And if we don't win, this is not a successful season.
Only four people said that.
None of them belong. None of them. These are all from different schools. I'll just tell you who
they are. Four individuals. Okay.
Penn State.
Sure.
Ohio State.
Stupid.
Georgia.
Expected.
And Michigan. And I'm not sure if that one's a joke.
Probably a joke. Stop it.
Okay. So zooming way out here, I think what we've learned is that like Power Four, I think, breaks into sort of like two categories. There's the, I want to make a bowl game or maybe make a conference championship category.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the playoff group. Like you can almost kind of see the rift between sort of like the classes in the Power Four.
If I were to just like pull, like I don't have them as pieces of paper in a hat or anything, but if I randomly pulled a Power Four team out, you and I could very quickly, like Mississippi State, category number, so that's bowl.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Success. Arizona State. Got to go back to the playoff.
Mississippi State is probably bowl or beat primary rival, frankly.
Yeah, but in that genre. Yes, yeah, what you're saying is it's two buckets for everybody.
Yes, yes, that's true, yes.
So
yes.
Arizona State has to be in the higher tier because of last year.
Yes, probably win a playoff game.
Arizona has to go to a bowl. Wake Forest, bowl. Yeah. Like I can just do this at random, and I think there's none where you're straddling.
Yes, and I think to the extent you are, it's like, okay, is Miami, like, make a conference championship rather than win a playoff game? Or is Louisville, maybe the whole ACC is in this category. Who's to say?
No. You know what? Louisville, I think, they're certainly, I don't know if they would consider, can we pull Louisville real fast?
Yeah, just
because we anecdotally got there?
Sure.
Because Louisville's a great candidate to try and break this. They've had good, I've said, under-recognized on Split Zone before, under-recognized campaigns under Brohm thus far.
Mm-hmm.
But I would also objectively say, hey, Cards, maybe don't hold yourself to a playoff standard this year, per se.
Okay, so Louisville fans didn't get a ton of Louisville responses, but we'll go with this.
What did they say in between cigarettes?
The nine regular season wins is what we're expecting. And we got a mix of make the conference championship and make a bowl game.
Yeah, that's dead on. I think the goal should be to make the conference championship game. No one's talking about Louisville as an ACC title contender on the national level.
Yeah.
SMU's still a darling. Clemson is the juggernaut. And then there's a conversation about what do we do with Miami.
And
when people pick a dark horse, they pick Georgia Tech.
Here's a good comment we got, because I also let people sort of, at the end, I was like, hey, you want to say anything else? Here's the open box you can fill in.
You're a bold man.
Oh, I didn't say I would read it out loud, but I will read this one. This anonymous survey respondent, I think for the Louisville fan base, the season feeling like a success will be being in contention for a playoff spot late in the year. I don't think making the playoff is necessary.
Yes, that Louisville fan is a very smart person.
Again, I honestly don't.
Conference championship game. Actually, you're right. That is the most Louisville Cardinals accurate success marker. Yeah.
Okay.
Love it. Go Cards.
Let's talk group of five. Smaller number of respondents, obviously. I will say, nobody picked win a playoff game as their minimum, like, we have to do this, or it wasn't a successful thing, which I think makes sense.
I mean, yes. Boise, actually, Boise's the argument there.
So
Boise and maybe the whatever American fan base feels most confident.
Okay, that's fair.
I guess.
What
was the shittiest G5 team we got?
In what sense do you want me to answer?
I mean, is Akron on there? Is Kent State on there? Is like...
Let's see. If I'm...
Is New Mexico State on there? Is New Mexico
Southern
on there?
We got a Southern Miss.
They're going to be good.
They're
going to be different this year.
No, they're good.
They're good. Well, they're better. I mean,
Louisiana Tech is on here.
Pretty assy.
FAU is on here.
Yeah, they'll be all right.
Charlotte is on here.
God bless you.
Ball State. Yeah, no, I wouldn't say there's no like drag.
No Akron?
Akron is we did not get an Akron response.
All right, we got to beef up our Ohio.
We'll see what we can do there.
All right,
so I gave the sort of tiers I gave the group of five were a little different. I said win a playoff. I didn't put like make the national championship game because no group of five fan is like if we don't do that, season's a failure.
Correct.
I put win a playoff game as the highest sort of like thing you could do. I put make the college football playoff as the second highest, then win the conference championship, make the conference championship, make a bowl game, beat your primary rival. So, interestingly enough, the playoff did not come into consideration at all. Nobody picked win a playoff game, and nobody said make the playoff, which I think is reflective of an understanding amongst the group of five of, like, you can have a really good season.
Yes.
But because these spots are limited, you may not have any control over the process.
Not so spots. That's the problem.
Yes, right. And so it's kind of foolhardy to sort of say, well, if we don't make the play, like, you could theoretically go undefeated and miss the playoff as a group of five.
I received that. My first feeling there is a little bit of sadness because as much as I and others like me have fought for the G5 inclusion, it also means that the majority of G5 fans are still under the impression that, like, this thing operates outside of us and without us, we could enter into we could earn a lottery ticket to get in. And that's our best case scenario.
Okay.
Boise probably doesn't feel that way. And maybe, you know, if there just isn't a dominant American program right now.
Right.
But if there was, maybe they would feel entitled.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say so far that tracks. Okay. Yeah.
Most popular answer was make a bowl game. 23 answers said.
Yeah.
And I also think that that means a little something different in the group of five, because the group of five is where.
And.
Yeah.
I'm going to exhale on mic. This is what drives me crazy about the bowl associate, the, whatever they're called now, the commission for bowls or whatever. Yeah. I'm tempted to clip this part of the show and send it to some individuals I know. Don't, like, stop taking 500 Power 4 teams.
Yeah.
Stop taking 5-7 Power 4 teams.
Yeah.
Start taking as many of these teams that want to be
there.
That want
to be there, sure.
Because it's not going to draw a rating either way, and it, that's you're not relying on that for success. I want to see a bowl just say, look, we want people who want to be here. We want to sell tickets. Mm-hmm. We're outside of the bracket.
Yep.
This is an exhibition game. That one survey response to me is like it's a big neon light that you should just be like, man, Louisiana Tech turned it around, Ryan, and they won 7 games this year. They haven't been to a bowl in a long time.
Right.
So if Mobile or wherever calls, like, they're going to want to go.
Yeah.
That should be your priority instead of being like, hey, man, Washington won 6. Right. We can get them into the Independence Bowl in Shreveport.
Right.
That shit drives me nuts.
Okay. Make a conference championship. We got 5 answers in that regard. They were from Boise, Georgia Southern, Western Kentucky, Tulane, and James Madison. And win a conference championship, only 2 answers, 1 for Georgia Southern, 1 for Boise State. I think that feels like pragmatism that you see so many make a conference championship, not win a conference championship, recognizing that, like, really in most of these leagues, and I would include Boise in this category right now, there is a level of parity that sort of, like,
make it to
the conference championship game. That means something.
Yeah.
We're not going to pin our hopes in, you know, August on if we don't win the conference title, we failed.
Not surprisingly, I'm not making a joke here. We didn't get a Liberty response.
We did not get a Liberty response.
No. Well, no, the reason I say that is, like, did we get a Toledo response?
Nope.
Okay, so that would explain why that data tracks that way.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Sun Belt is inordinately even this year. There's very little dominant.
And it has, like, a great history of, like, just knifing each other all season.
Oh, yeah. No, so, like, yeah, whoever makes it's going to be destroyed. Yeah, it's money in the bank rules if you follow wrestling. And then, yeah, Boise's expectation. I mean, Georgia Southern, that's just, I know exactly, that's pride.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if it's going to happen. Yeah, this all aligns pretty nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah. There'll be some weird conference championship games at the G5 level this year.
Oh, 100%. Okay, we're going to start looking into the conferences themselves and seeing how those responses broke down internally.
Okay.
But before we do that, we're going to hear a little bit from our sponsor, Homefield.
Let's.
Friends, today we are not just celebrating the return of college football. We are also wishing a happy 7th birthday to our sponsor, Homefield, as they unveil over 300 new items this week. That's right. You could theoretically purchase one item for every workday of an entire year and have room to spare just from the new designs Homefield is dropping for their birthday celebration, including Puff Ink trucker hats and tri-stripe crewnecks. But Ryan, I'm a stockbroker or a judge or one of those people who wears hazardous material contamination suits for work. I can't just wear Homefield every day for my job. Those are the old rules. Break free of your sartorial shackles and become the Homefield wearer you want to see in the universe. Go to homefieldapparel.com or check out Homefield on all the social platforms to find out more about all these new items and your exciting new work wardrobe. Okay, back to the episode.
Okay, so for this, I am now instituting a little bit of a minimum response requirement. So I only am looking at schools in these conferences where I got at least 3 responses.
Okay.
Just so I'm not having huge outliers necessarily.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with the SEC, where all of the member schools got at least 3 responses in their on their behalf.
Okay.
Survey. 3 schools have a minimum expectation of 10 regular season wins, and I bet you can name them. Well, I'm confident you can name 2 of them. I'm not sure if you can get the 3rd.
Three schools,
their fans said,
in the SEC.
He said, we need to win 10 regular season games for me to consider this season a success.
Texas?
Yes.
Georgia?
Yes.
Bama?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Bama was the one I was kind of curious, but like the expectations are very much still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're still Alabama.
There are only two schools that said a number below six would be, this could count as a successful year.
Below
six.
Mississippi State.
That's one. You could walk to the other one from this
office.
Yeah, surprisingly.
I think still on that? Oh, that's terrible.
I think a little bit of that is
it's Vanderbilt, what the schedule by the way, looks like. This is your first episode.
Yeah, sorry. It's Vanderbilt.
We're in Nashville.
I think some of that has to do with what the schedule looks like to some extent.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Who do you think has the coach that our survey respondents said they have the least? I said scale of 1 to 10. 10 is give him a lifetime contract. 1 is fire his ass tomorrow. Who do you think is the on the lowest end of the spectrum in the SEC?
Oh, man. I love this. Mark Stoops.
It's Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze below 2 at 1.89. Like, and yes.
Damn it, I should have known that, because no one's going to ride with this show and like Hugh Freeze.
I was going to say, this is the data that reflects who listens to Phantom Island from the Auburn fan base.
I tried to get creative, and I should have just taken my layups. Yeah.
Who do you think the most sort of like beloved or most secure coaches are in the SEC, the top two?
Kirby.
That's number one.
Sark?
No, actually.
Okay.
Vanderbilt.
Oh, Clark Wade.
Which was interesting considering like the bar was not set. It wasn't a school that said like we got to win 7 wins. We got to get to 7 wins this year. I think that reflects maybe some patience.
I think there's something sitting on your desk that is better reflects that.
That's true. Yes. Beating Alabama does pay a lot of dividends.
Ryan was mailed a commemorative ticket.
No, I purchased
this. You did?
I purchased God. The commemorative ticket.
You petty son of a bitch.
I'm not
I
a
love
nice
you.
Man. Okay. Who is the most confident SEC team entering the season, at least according to the fan? What fan base is most confident in their SEC
Texas.
Team? Yes, that's right. With a rating of about 8. And which SEC fan base is least confident in their team?
State.
Kentucky. Actually,
I would have also accepted that answer.
Kentucky down at 2.6.
Well, at least you don't owe them $35 million.
Okay. So now looking across all the SEC responses, who do you think was listed most consistently across all schools as the team that is the team on your schedule that would be most satisfying to beat?
Ooh. Georgia?
Georgia's number 2.
Texas?
32 respondents said no.
This
it's
is
a- still Alabama. It's because there's a lot of Tennessee fans who still feel that way. There's obviously a lot of Auburn fans who still feel that way. Mm. There's a lot of Vandy fans.
Wow. Okay, so maybe a lingering thing. Maybe still shaking out some catharsis.
See, I think it's we want to be the ones to put the final knife in Caesar's back. And I think there's some sense of, like, let's do this while we can.
Okay.
But, yeah, Alabama.
Interesting.
Yes. I do think Tennessee and the Iron Bowl are swaying things here. Of, like, these are the ones that would. But not exclusively. Georgia was pretty close behind. Who was listed as the most unpleasant team that you could lose to across all the schedules?
My brain would think, who would I be most embarrassed
yes,
by?
Yes, I think that's a good way of
well,
phrasing
it. Well, then it can't be Vandy anymore if people are being smart.
Vandy is still up there, I
but
think,
it's
in part
not
because,
number one.
Because like, Auburn fans are like, God, if we lose to Vanderbilt again. And Tennessee fans are pretty
is
like...
Is it State?
No, it's Texas A&M.
I don't get
because
it.
Because of Texas like, the Texas respondents
in here. Oh, this
is
just skewed data.
A little
bit, okay, yeah.
Auburn is pretty high up here as well, too.
That I understand. It's weird. If we threw out the Texas part of it, I don't think A&M would show up at all. Because, like, I think the consensus amongst fans is that Elko had a good year in their building.
Oh, yeah. But if Texas lost Texas A&M this year,
Yes.
That would be particularly galling and unpleasant.
Yes.
Okay, so that's your snapshot of how everybody's feeling in the SEC.
Okay.
I don't think anything too surprising in there. Let's move to the Big Ten, where we got a quorum of responses from every team except Rutgers. That's on me. I know lots of Rutgers people. Yeah. I should have seen
them personally.
I apologize for that.
Old school political polling.
This is another conference where there are three schools who say, hey, their fans are saying, hey, we need to win at least 10 games.
Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan?
No.
Thank God. Oregon.
Yes. Easy. This is another conference where there are two schools that had a number below six that would say, hey, this would be a successful season.
Purdue?
Yep.
Maryland?
Northwestern.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Maryland, I think that would be a problem.
Could hire Pat back. He's available.
Every coach had a rating. There were no, like, true... There were no Hugh Freezes in this in terms of, like, coach confidence.
No, if you listen to our giant eyes list from last week, phantomisland.show, become a subscriber today, you would know that the Big Ten segment was, like, eerily short.
Yeah. That said, who do you think is the lowest coach in terms of how the fans feel about, we love him, we hate him?
It's not Loxley.
It's not.
It's not Loxley.
Loxley is quite low, but he is not the lowest.
I'm just sick of this son of a bitch, is sort of the vibe.
Yeah, but it could be like, I really don't think he's the guy. That could be also a way to look at it. It doesn't necessarily have to be personal with Hugh Freeze, it might be.
How fast? So are you just trying to tease me into, like, how fast has Wisconsin soured on Fickell?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
According at least to our survey respondents, Luke Fickell was the lowest rated coach in the Big Ten in terms of how you feel about him. Maryland, however, does have the lowest confidence. Maryland fans have the least confidence in their team this year, rating of 2.5 out of 10. Who is the most confident fan base in the Big Ten this
year? Ohio State. Penn State?
It's Penn State.
Fucking dumb.
Ohio State is not in the top three. It's Penn State. It's Oregon.
This is bad data.
And then it's Illinois.
Ooh, pride cometh, my friends. Pride cometh. Illinois up there, we're beating our chest. You know, that's the kind of, them's the kind of folks that would take all those Bielema sound bites, whereas us veterans down south, we're like, y'all, just wait. And they're like, oh, fuck it. Like, they're... It's Kool-Aid time.
No, you're this. What? You know what this is reflective of?
What?
Bowl game.
Oh, the fuck way, off.
Not just that Illinois beat South Carolina, a South Carolina team that some people were like, they should be in the playoff conversation, blah, 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 that has an interesting Heisman candidate, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Not just that they beat them, but that they made Shane Beamer look like a snoppy child the whole time.
Oh, I mean, it was Monday Nitro for sure.
Yeah, so I think the bowl game combined with the fact that, look, Illinois fans have been fed a lot of, like, I don't know, you could be the, like, if when you're doing the rounds and you're like, pick a dark horse team to make the playoff this year, Illinois is a very fashionable pick.
Mm-hmm. Illinois and South Carolina, ironically.
Yeah. Which team do you think was listed as the one that would be most satisfying to beat in 2025?
Now I'm trying to game it because of the skewed response.
I don't think you have to.
Is it Penn State?
It's Ohio State.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's every year. Yeah. Defending champion.
So 58 responses listed Ohio State or some variation thereof.
What does that mean?
Like some people just said
FOSU.
Yeah,
or
sure,
like that.
Sure. Yeah. Michigan was second with 32 responses, 20 of which came from Ohio State fans.
So, the sun rose today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is the most unpleasant to lose to? I will say this is one where the SEC sort of like largely stuck to conference games or conference opponents. The Big Ten fans who responded listed like their FCS opponent sometimes, or if they were playing a MAC school or something like this, but it is a conference. The most named school was a Big Ten member, and all of the responses that listed them came from the same school. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
So who will you really hate losing to this year?
Well, so it has to be Ohio State losing to Michigan.
No.
What?
No.
How? Okay. Well, if not, then
it's Michigan losing to Michigan State.
Really?
Yes. Yes. That was the most popular.
Good to know that bug's still up their ass.
I think it's less bug, but like, I think there is an under A. If they lose right after the NCAA ruling, I think they'll feel like, damn it. Yeah. We hate that that's happening. And I think to me that what this reflects is that Michigan fans like not having to think about this game.
Yes, that's very, you know what? I'll add to that. Having done some research on this rivalry back at Secret Base, I think if I'm a Michigan fan, I get a little bit of the shivers. Because this is, for us, Big Blue Michigan fans, a rebuilding year in finger quotes. I mean, we're starting Bryce. We're starting a freshman. Yes. We're sort of turning a page, even more so than last year really was. And we've
had our
I'm not trying to compare the program.
We had our study abroad last year where we got to bask in the national championship.
So this is where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
State is on a similar trajectory at a different parallel. Like, you are above them in terms of talent and all that. Yeah, no doubt. But what you don't want is something like what happened to Harbaugh when he was starting out. And trouble with the snap. What you don't want to do, and I think Michigan fans would agree with me, or admit that this is what they're afraid of, is fuck up and give them a foothold or some hope.
Yeah, you don't want to see
the
graph lines start to get closer together.
Yeah, and I mean, a win over Michigan is going to be... There's more potential equity at stake for Michigan State.
Yes.
And Smith, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the ACC. We got 10 schools that met our minimum three submission requirement here.
Okay.
Clemson, Duke, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Miami, NC State, UNC, Pitt, UVA, Virginia Tech. Clemson fans are the ones that want at least 10 regular season wins, and Miami is very close at 9.8.
Okay.
Virginia's the lowest, but even Virginia fans say 6 wins. Like, everyone who submitted here said, for us to look at this season as a success, we need to win 6 games.
Yeesh.
Well, I mean, let's pull on that a little bit. If Virginia goes 5-7... is that a successful season, or does it depend on who the five are and when
depends
they are
the five
and how
is
they look?
And beaten Tech. Okay. And yeah, but I mean, like, he's dead man walking anyway right now, so I guess I get it, but yeah, just that prospect seems insane.
Who, I will say, Tony Elliott is the coach in the ACC with the least confidence.
Tracks.
Who is the ACC coach that you think, the 10 schools at least who submitted here, who do you think is the most beloved or the most... favored right now?
I think this is a trick, and it's not Dabo because they've gone through a little bit of a lover's quarrel.
It's not Dabo. By a hair, it's not Dabo. He's second.
God, I wish it was Narduzzi.
Not this. You're going to need a time machine for that to work.
I just wish we were totally misreading that culture and be like, no, we fucking love him. It's not Mario. It's not. Oh, Rhett.
It's Manny Diaz. SMU didn't. Oh, need it. SMU didn't.
That's
need
right. Our, shit. Yeah. It is Manny. Yeah. Yep. That makes total sense.
Manny, 8.4.
Yep. I'm very bullish
very
on Duke.
Good here.
Is Duke, by the way.
Most confident team in the ACC, Clemson.
Should be Duke.
8.4. There's only one other school that's above an 8, in terms of we feel good about our team this year.
Is it Duke?
No.
Is it the idiots in Coral Gables?
No.
Oh. No, it's not SMU. They didn't respond. Okay. Who is it?
Georgia Tech.
Okay, y'all. What?
What's wrong with that?
Oh, man.
You have an issue with that?
No, just, you know.
I think, listen. Keep it steady. When you have a quarterback and a coach that you like, and you're like, these guys have fucking fought for 8 overtimes for us. Like, that goes a long way. I understand why you would feel good heading into that.
Okay.
It doesn't necessarily...
I'm not going to say anything negative.
Like, Georgia Tech fans have only... The bar for... This is where it's also, like, the bar for success for them, they've said 8 wins.
It's weird. I feel like that game shakes out over the long course of the long offseason to where it gave Tech fans confidence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yes.
It didn't in the moment because it was
a gut
still
punch.
Beating hearts yes. were ripped out.
Yes, I think it's also convenient to remember the overtime part of it and not the, boy, Georgia Tech had that game in hand part of it.
Yeah, the Falcons did.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but you can. In terms of who you really want to beat, it's all over the map here. Because of the ACC-SEC thing.
It's fractured, yeah.
So I'm just going to give you some of the highlights here.
Okay.
Clemson and Virginia Tech fans both really want to beat South Carolina. For different reasons.
Oh, that's the Beamer thing.
Yes, but I think for Virginia Tech, it's also a, like, statement thing.
Yeah, his ass better win.
I think it's if we can do this early in the year.
Yeah, hot seat coach.
It makes it feel so, especially after last year with the Vanderbilt loss.
I don't think that's, like, rooted in acrimony towards
there is a fear of, like, if we lose to him it feels weird.
They don't want that to happen,
but we're not necessarily like, fuck this guy, we need to be
no they don't want that to happen. I don't think they wish Shane ill will or anything like that.
A lot of feelings projections on this episode, which is fun.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also like, man, we dropped this one. We really better fucking beat Vanderbilt.
Yes.
That, I know, is a real feeling.
UNC is a very popular answer amongst the triangle.
My assumption was that they would be unified by that, but also it is, ACC culture is so different now.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
In terms of who you really don't want to lose to, the most obvious one, Virginia Tech fans really don't want to lose to UVA. Like, really, really don't want to lose to UVA. This UVA, at this point in prize tenure, like, would be terrible.
What's interesting about that, real fast, is that the standard is so concrete in that rivalry that you could, it's not like a fan base could be sick of their coach and be like, I hope we fucking lose to our rival and we can fire that guy.
No, it's
like, we'll still fire you, but you, like, we'll bury you in the woods if you lose to them.
It is a mark of deep shame. In similarly heavy feelings rivalries, Clemson fans really don't, they really want to beat South Carolina and they really don't want to lose to South Carolina as well. Like, this is one where the answers of who would you most like to beat? Who would you most hate to lose to? For Clemson, not uniformly, because Clemson has, you know, like a good opening game and this, that, and the other. But I think that also is, that feels,
that's interesting,
much like the Virginia Tech answer in the plus category. That feels like, because it's at the end of the year, it just, like,
I think that
dregs up all the other Clemson's not real, the ACC's bullshit. It just, like, casts a pall over everything you've done.
It still strikes me as odd. Clemson is a school that has shown so much more than South Carolina in the last decade.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so much more.
Yeah, sure.
But I mean, that's our beautiful sport.
Yeah.
Is that you can, little brother can get under your skin. And for the last couple years, that's what South Carolina's been doing.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. The Big 12. We got 7 schools that qualified under our metrics here. Not necessarily who you would expect. Here they are.
Wait, 7 respondents? That's it?
No, 7 that we got at least 3 responses.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
We had more than this from beyond, but if you won't, if I only got one answer.
Okay, 7.
So the 7 are Baylor, Cincinnati,
weird,
Colorado, Oklahoma State, TCU, Texas Tech, and West Virginia.
Okay.
So an interesting group.
Yeah.
The lowest bar in terms of we need to win, how many we need to win this year, comes from West Virginia and Cincinnati. These are schools that say, if we can get to 6 wins, that's a successful season.
Yes.
There are 2 schools amongst this group that are at 9 or higher.
Texas Tech.
Yes.
Oh, man. I'm trying to remember the list. It's not Oklahoma State.
Nope.
Give me the rest of the teams, and I'll
Baylor,
hit it.
Baylor, Cincy.
Oh, Baylor.
No.
What?
Hold on. Let me read you the list. Baylor, Cincy, Colorado, Oklahoma State, TCU, Texas Tech, West Virginia.
Oh, TCU.
It's TCU.
TCU.
This is going to be a layup for you. Amongst these 7 schools, which coach is held in the lowest regard?
My guy, Satterfield.
Yes. He is at Hugh Freeze levels of derision at this point.
You know what? God bless the agent. God bless the contract.
But Mike Gundy is quite low right now as well. He's down at 3.5. That is not a good place for a like program legend.
I'm not going to quote myself from the subscriber show. Go listen. But I mean, I did set that table in a very specific way.
Yeah. Who do you think who do you think are the two coaches held in the highest esteem by their fans?
Is it one of them, Dion?
No, it's not.
Okay. I know who I think it should be.
Okay.
Sonny should be one. Is he?
Nope.
Really?
Yep.
These knuckleheads.
No, I think that's like Sonny's in okay shape. But Sonny's lower than Dion is. But I think that's reflective of.
All right, who is it?
Joey McGuire is one. He's number
that's
one.
That's a lot of confidence.
And Dave Aranda's the second.
I don't hate it.
Okay.
Good for Baylor. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. That strikes me.
Sonny is not in, like, to be clear, Sonny came in at a 6.4, which to me is like we're more happy than not, but we're not enamored.
I think TCU is going to have a good year.
All right. I think that would be good for them if they did.
Yeah.
And then
expert analysis from us.
And then in terms of most confident schools, Texas Tech, number one with a bullet.
I mean, fake it till you make it, baby.
TCU and Baylor are both high up there as well. Of these seven schools, which one do you think feels least confident in their program right now?
Cincinnati.
Oklahoma State.
Good.
Yeah.
Accurate.
Yeah. Cincinnati's low. West Virginia's low.
So what we can pull from that is that Cincinnati thinks they can get rid of their coach, and Oklahoma State thinks they can't.
That might be it.
That's it. Because that's really when you're broken.
Sure.
Is we're stuck with this bastard forever.
Yeah, it could be that. That's I hadn't thought about it in those terms. Okay, and lastly, before we get into some more granular topics here, one of them you picked, so we're going to get into them.
Okay.
We had two Group of Five schools that we got at least three answers for. A lot of Group of Five responses for.
Two Group of Fives we got. Okay.
Yes, right. But we have we got at least three responses for. San Diego State and North Texas.
Okay.
We're going to start with San Diego State. Things are not great.
Mm-mm.
Need to win six games.
Yes.
Six games has been set as we need to do this to be
agreed.
Successful.
Agreed.
Confidence in coach is at a four. Confidence in team has sunk to below three.
Man, okay. I mean, not going to criticize it, but yeah, it's dour.
You specifically, I asked you before the show, I was like, hey, give me like five schools and we'll drill down on them specifically. North Texas was one of them. So here's your profile on North Texas. They want seven wins and to make a bowl game. They all want to beat UTSA the most.
Yeah.
That is the answer.
Yeah, it's bad.
The confidence in the program is decent. It's at a six. And the confidence in Eric Morris is at a 5.3, which is like take him, could leave.
So it's – I did – a guest spot on Split Zone and did the American with Richard, and the UTSA UNT is becoming like a top tier G5 rivalry, and it's that identity crisis thing of like, I used to be something and then you came along and did me better than me. They've lost a bunch of games to them. They got their asses handed to them last year, but I talked about this defensive coordinator that left Sam Houston but didn't go with Keeler.
Yeah.
That they hired, his name escapes me. They pulled whatever you want.
Cassidy?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
He didn't want to move to Temple.
Yeah.
But like maybe I don't know if it was so much like the wife and I don't like it as it was like he knows he's gonna be a Texas, he needs to stay in the Texas circuit for recruiting purposes and to advance his coaching career. I get that.
Right.
It's not an anti Jersey Philly thing so much as is like, this is the area I recruit and I understand it, whatever. Anyways, this guy goes, there's a shitload of hype that if UNT can just be marginally better on defense, Morris's offense is more like they're legit and they could pop this year.
Okay.
So that's why I picked them, just because they're very interesting to me.
So here's a comment we got from one of our North Texas respondents. I put Temple for most disappointing loss, but losing to any of Charlotte, UAB, Rice, or the Temple Owls would be pretty bad.
Yeah, it would.
Toss in Lamar, and I don't think there's an excuse to not make a bowl. I'm cautiously optimistic about the defense because of the Skylar Cassidy.
Yeah.
But at this point, I know better than to think UNT will have a good defense.
I mean, they have sucked ass on defense for a long time.
If the defense flops and none of the QBs work out, we could be talking about a hot seat firing. A hot seat or firing.
Hot seat next year, yes.
Okay. If the defense is competent with a typical Morris offense, then this could be a conference contender.
Correct.
And every respondent said they would rather, even with all those sort of UTSA want to beat them the most, every respondent said they'd rather lose to their rival but contend for a conference championship. And that makes sense because they haven't won a conference title since 2004, which is, I think, two conferences ago now. And they haven't played for one since 2017.
It would have been Cusa?
I think so.
Yeah, I'd have to look that up. All that track.
Yep. All right.
Yep. Mean Green.
All right, we're going to go through your other schools that you want to talk about. Tennessee fans. How many wins do you think Tennessee fans are saying this is the minimum regular season wins total we need to hit for this to be a successful year?
I just, the day we recorded this, I just did 104.5 in Nashville with two Tennessee grads.
Yeah.
Will Bowling, who works for the Titans as well, like a sideline reporter, radio guy. And then Ramon Foster, who played for Tennessee and the Steelers.
Yeah.
Both VFLs.
Yeah.
And now I've been trying to counsel and condition them that with everything they have coming down the pike in recruiting and the overall health of the program, that finishing the season with 8 or 9 wins would be a massive success.
Yeah.
And we should all just be happy and we're not going to lose our shit.
Okay.
And I think they're there.
Okay.
So 8.5 is they should win 8.
9 is the number they landed on here.
Well, they should be 8. A little also bit. Also 8, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They either want to, in terms of what's the minimum thing you need to do for this to be a success, they either want to beat their main rival, most of whom picked Alabama
Vanderbilt
as their main rival. Yeah. Or they want to make a bowl as a minimum. I think that mostly is
okay.
Anything beyond that feels like a reach. So I think there's some healthy realism.
I may or may not have encouraged them on the radio this morning that they had a chance to beat Georgia.
You're not a good person. I mean, they might have a chance to beat Georgia. I shouldn't say that.
Go Vols.
Most popular, the team that Tennessee fans most want to beat this year.
Bama.
Yes, correct. The team that would be most unpleasant to lose to.
Vandy.
That's correct. Josh Heupel still is rating at a 7.8.
As he should.
Confidence in the team is only at a 6 this year, and everybody identified the roster as the reasons why the season might not
Which that just means quarterback. Expectations. Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it. But also, lost some good players in the draft and things like that.
I hope they lost a really good one.
And they also have some young players that I think that might also mean. I could see roster being an answer of... We're breaking some guys in.
Yeah, they are.
A couple of comments that I pulled out. One helpful and one silly.
Okay.
This season to me is an indicator for if Heupel's offense can work long term. I'm worried that in the post-Hendon Hooker seasons that the offense needs to change to sustain any success. If the offense lags again this year, I think a system change will be needed.
No, they already changed the offense last year, and they did what they were best at in the moment, and it won them some games.
Okay. And then the silly,
I just disagree with that.
And then the lighthearted comment. As much as I am a successful contributor to society, I have opinions on a school changing clothing suppliers. And I understand if that voids my positive contributions. All right, let's move on to Southern Cal. Tennessee fans want 9 wins. How many wins do Southern Cal fans want?
10.
9.
Go, good for them.
Yeah. Who do they want to beat?
Notre Dame?
It's Notre Dame.
Okay.
Yes. There is a wide mix of teams they don't want to lose to, and I think, honestly, that is a reflection of the fact that USC has lost to all variety of teams.
UCLA has to be number one.
There's not really a clear number one. Oh. You know who is on there, though? Georgia Southern.
Oh, Clay.
Yeah.
Clay, right, yep. Right. Oh, forgot yep. about that. Yep. Yeah. In September.
I think that's their second game of the year.
Road trip.
Coach rating, 5.75.
I thought that's higher than I thought.
Yeah. Optimism in team, 6.5.
Also higher than I thought.
Most Southern Cal fans would rather lose to their rival and contend for a conference championship and playoff spot, which I think is the right choice, especially given that you're the rival. If we're picking,
it's also a very LA mentality.
Yes, yes. And one quick comment here. The offensive issues last year were 100% on Lincoln Riley. Justice for Miller Moss.
Justice for Miller. I picked them because I have tracked the defense in the offseason. I think they may pop, and it's a prohibitive contract, and it's another kind of bloom is off the rose situation, and yet I think they could be better. I could think, here's, I think, where I'm going.
Okay.
They could be better in every way this year and not fix any of the systemic problems that Lincoln suffers from.
Okay. I think that, yeah, I mean, this is also a year where they don't draw Ohio State. They don't draw Penn State. They do have to play Oregon. They Notre Dame is on there, as we mentioned. Right now, Illinois is the number 12 team in the preseason poll.
If these dudes fuck around and make it to Indianapolis, you and I are going.
Okay.
Only I just kind of want to watch USC fans who elect to go to Indianapolis.
Okay. Okay. Let's talk about Duke a little bit more. Duke fans...
Playoff dark horse. Fuck South Carolina.
Duke fans say 7 or 8 wins would be a successful season.
Fuck it. No, run the table.
They want to make a bowl.
This is not a bit.
I know. They want to make a bowl game. They mostly want to beat UNC.
I tell you who their coach most wants to beat.
Who do you think they mostly don't want to lose to? This is not a majority, but it popped up enough that it made me laugh. You have to have a deep knowledge of the Duke schedule to answer this, because it's not an ACC team.
Oh, Tulane.
UConn.
Oh, shit! Basketball! Yeah. Oh, man! Look at this. God, you dorks. Fucking dorks.
We already said they feel great about Manny. They have pretty good optimism in this team right now, 7.2 out of 10. Your comment is this. One day Duke football will make the playoff, and only then will people realize the playoff is too big.
God, they're myopic.
All right, last one. You asked for Central Michigan. I only have one response for this, so we're going to tell you what this respondent says. I think we both have a thought of who this respondent might even be, but we're going to leave that to the side.
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
7 wins.
Okay.
A somewhat tall order for year one.
Potentially. The reason I picked them is that, yes, but a lot of potential for a lot of floors to fall out in the league. And so you could find 7. Yeah.
7 wins, make a bowl game.
Sure.
Most satisfying win would be beating Michigan.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Team you can't lose to. Team that you would hate losing to most.
Western?
Kent State.
Oh, just from, quality standpoint.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Rating of 6 for Matt Drinkle, rating of 5 in the team, and would choose to lose to your rival but contend for the conference championship.
Who is their number one? Is it Western?
I don't.
It's not Eastern. I think it's Western.
I think it is Western. Yeah.
I think it is Western. Yeah.
So that's where we are. I mean, I pulled a few other things I will pull out for you here. Alabama fans all said Tennessee would be the most popular opponent to beat, and Auburn would be the most unpleasant to lose.
Wait, Alabama fans voted for Tennessee would be the most to beat?
That was where they coalesced. Huh. That would be most satisfying. God, that makes sense.
That rivalry's back, and that's such a headache.
I don't think it's satisfying to them to beat Auburn at this point.
True.
It's bad to lose.
No,
that's why
I
Auburn's
thought they would
say
something like, "Well,
it's not Florida State this year." It's no, not like it's.
They don't have Georgia regular season,
right?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
And they still feel pretty good about Kalen DeBoer. He's still at a 7.2, so not.
That's
not
higher
lighting,
than I thought.
Yeah, they're not lighting hair on fire.
That's higher than I thought. Point.
Miami fans, they want to beat Notre Dame. They don't want to lose to FSU. and they mostly agree that if they don't meet expectations this season, it will be due to the coaching staff.
Well, then, okay. Accurate.
Like
accurate.
The message Miami has sent of, like, we are serious about recruiting and player acquisition through the portal, et cetera, like, and NIL, has sunk in, but it now comes with the cost of, if it doesn't work, I don't think Miami can be like, well, we just don't have the horses. Like, I think that ship is done.
Well, but they're going to protect Mario.
Yeah. No,
so,
yeah.
So what are they going to have? They're going to have to find a Gus Malzahn. That's where we're going to be next year. If they fuck this up.
Yeah.
And I know they will somehow.
Yeah.
Because of Mario's on-field coaching.
Yeah.
They should have done, honestly, they should have, I mean, not Gus specifically, but they should have done this last season. And they didn't add on. I mean, Shannon Dawson's going to get out and get his own head coaching job. They need an adult in the room in terms of the sideline. Mm-hmm. And they don't have that.
Missouri.
What about them?
Missouri, man, this is great. This actually bolstered a lot of my feelings about college football. Just the Missouri responses.
Okay.
They want to beat Kansas. They don't want to lose to Kansas. This comment really sums it up for me. In any other reason, the main goal would be to win a bowl game and knock off a big brand name SEC school.
Mm-hmm.
This year, nothing else matters. Fuck KU.
This is how I remembered or maybe found out that they're back on
the
schedule.
This is a week two or three game. I think this is a week two game.
No, I knew this because we had a conversation on one of the 900 podcasts I do that week two is sneaky good this year.
This has great juice. This game and this rivalry.
Is this in KC or St. Louis or something? Surely they're not going into that brand new stadium in Lawrence and bringing...
No, this is... Mizzou is hosting this
Folks,
game.
If you... I don't like to blow smoke up Missouri's ass because I know so many journalism grads I would strand on an island. It's the nicest way I could say that. It's September 6th.
September 6th, yes.
But Kansas already played in week zero, so it's their third. Okay, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Y'all, if you don't know anything about this portion of the country, they fought their own war. That's a real thing.
The rivalry is named after Civil War tension. Fighting, murder.
Yeah, but not in a cutesy way.
Isn't this fun? Yeah. It's some serious shit.
There's like a weirdly present. Okay. Historical disdain in rivalries when it's like a culture versus culture, eventually they cease to represent the present reality.
Yes, sure.
Right? So, like, not everyone who goes to West Virginia is a fucking coal miner's son and versus those snooty pricks from downtown Pittsburgh who are the children of steel barons.
The steel scions.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I can go on. This is uniquely fucked up.
Yeah. Blood and, deep in a poisoning kind of way.
I mean, like, fight, like, legit spicy parking lot.
Yes.
I forgot this game was on the schedule.
Yeah.
I honestly did.
They are... I am delighted by
how... Shit, this is... Ryan, this is a must-win for both schools.
It's pretty big, yeah.
No, this is... Lance Leipold has never had them on the schedule.
Correct. No, nobody's... Yeah.
Like, for all the good he's done in returning Kansas to functionality...
And Kansas... And, listen, I understand it's, you know, the circumstances, whatever. Kansas looked good week zero.
They did. Yeah.
Kansas closed the season pretty strong last year.
Yeah,
like, Lance has shown enough at Kansas to be like, there's no reason we can't beat a Missouri team that nobody's like, oh, they're gonna be one of the top three teams in the SEC this year.
And so your comments on the end of last season for Kansas are essentially Lance's worst campaign of his career because I toss out. So he's rebuilt pretty much nonstop since he's become an FBS level head coach.
Yeah.
So, like, he has two bad seasons at Buffalo, but he's building Buffalo, right?
Right.
He has a 2-10 season at Kansas. He is building Kansas. Mm-hmm. He also got hired in, like, fucking April or something.
Yeah.
Last season's 5-7 was basically, like, the lowest performance he's ever had.
Yes.
This is a must-win for both coaches in so many ways.
Yeah. I don't... Yes.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's gonna be spicy.
These this folks very hate spicy. The fuck out of each other.
And it's just nice because, like, look, could Kansas or Mizzou make the playoff? Yes. But I don't think any of this has any feel of, like, well, this is important because it will be... It's not being viewed through that frame, which is nice.
What's... This just in Columbia, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, geez, and Pete.
I'm going to close on Nebraska.
Okay.
Because we have to talk about Nebraska. We always do. Nebraska fans want 8 wins, and they want to make a bowl game. Who do you think Nebraska fans really want to beat?
Iowa?
It is Iowa. They are a little more split on who they would hate to lose against, but Iowa is up there.
Okay.
They feel 7.5 in Matt Rhule.
Okay.
They feel a 7 for confidence in their team.
Interesting.
But I'm just going to, we're going to close this episode with a few comments.
Okay.
Number one, I'm extremely paranoid that Dylan Raiola has an incredible year and then immediately jumps to a better team.
Oof.
Number two, I finally understand what the Bo Pelini truthers were / have been talking about for years.
I don't know. I totally understand the context of that, and I don't know if I want to.
Number three, this one you'll definitely understand. Fuck Scott Frost.
I popped.
Man, that's, I feel like Nebraska's got their head on their shoulders.
Yeah.
That's about
for all,
right.
For all yeah. that we have sort of thought about, like, this is an unrealistic fan base. No. Like, this
they
is...
were beaten down yeah. for so long. That's how, that's, it was like Siberian work camp level of re-education.
And also in ways, like, the number of ways in which Nebraska lost games.
Dude.
Was just unbelievable. I do think,
Northwestern in Ireland.
I think lifting the cloud of the bowl-less streak, the bowl drought, has helped a lot.
Yeah, yeah. The Raiola transfer thing, I think, would be unlikely.
But I understand it as a fear. Because if Dylan Raiola is very good this year,
mm-hmm.
I understand why that fear would pop up of, like, oh, somebody is going to try to
yeah.
go grab him.
This is, it just feels like Tennessee's two steps ahead of you in the same rehab program, because what you should be thinking is, if he has an amazing season, like, who can we pull
who can
out
we,
of the portal
how can
to
we,
build?
How
yeah.
can we sort of use that
but,
to our
but they're not
yeah.
there yet. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
okay.
Everyone's journey's
okay.
different. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yep.
Phantom Island is produced by Michael Serber and presented by Homefield. Our theme music by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard comes from the song Phantom Island from their album of the same name. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon.